Good afternoon, Bloomington. 606 News Talk. 96.1 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone radio program live on a Wednesday night, the 22nd day of July. Dave is on vacation this week. So Terry Stoltz riding shotgun. Good afternoon. How are you?
Michael, doing well, doing well.
You look very summery, nice and tanned up, ready to go. Did you play golf all day today?
I only wish I could
vacation
have done that.
Vacation man.
Vacation.
That's right. Is today the birthday? The official
yesterday.
Birthday?
Yesterday.
Was it yesterday? What was today? Today's Wednesday. Yeah. So happy, now I can say belated. I couldn't figure out what that word was on Monday when you give somebody a happy birthday. So now it's belated, but I've seen you enough. We've partied enough.
Thank you.
We've had a good enough time on that.
That's right.
So here we are getting things going. Wednesday evening, our last time with you of the week. We appreciate you making time for us. A very interestingly weird night. The Reds and Cubs, we'll get to that last night game. They've already played one game today. Schwarber's already hit two more, and he's hitting the ball again. And now they're getting ready to start at 6:10. They had a day-night early night doubleheader as the Reds are off tomorrow before heading to Colorado on Friday. We'll have Friday and Saturday's game for you. Note the time change is a little bit different in the mountains. 8:30 on Friday, 8 o'clock on Saturday for your pregame coverage. And then, Terry, don't forget, Crown Royal Brickyard 400, Saturday. Pre-race coverage beginning at noon. We'll take you through the green flag, checkered flag, kissing of the bricks. They kiss the bricks in the NASCAR, don't they?
Oh, yes.
They have to. That's anybody races at that
track. Who's Joe got in this? We got to find out.
I don't know.
Out.
He's on vacation. He always has Kurt Busch, and he always has Joey Logano. So okay. write those two down. And if either one of those do any good, you and I will definitely hear about it for all of that. The other interesting part of our afternoon is the USA is playing a Gold Cup semifinal as we speak against Jamaica. They kicked off about 90 seconds ago in Atlanta, indoors on grass. So I don't know what else to tell you, folks. We've got it all going on for you this afternoon. And on top of it all, we welcome our special guest from the Indianapolis Star, the beat writer for your Indiana Hoosiers, is Zach Osterman. Good morning. How are you?
It's not morning, but I'm doing great.
Now you're in the. I usually talk to you in the morning, so
yeah, that's
just an old crutch.
We're always on in the morning. Sometimes my wife thinks that this is the morning for me. How late I wake up in the off season.
Well, you,
my boss is listening. I wake up at 8:30 every morning.
That is late for some of us.
Some
but
of
not
us.
For you. But
yes.
Wait, we appreciate you taking some time with us today. And as we mentioned, plenty going on. So we'll keep you updated on the USA Jamaica game. Again, we're just 2 minutes into that game. Semifinal matchup. Winner gets the winner of Mexico and Costa Rica. Who does Mexico play? No,
they beat Costa Rica in the quarterfinal.
The Mexicans play next. They play Trinidad and Tobago again? I don't know. Cuba. Again, it's not a big tournament, folks. You can't tell me the semifinals are off the top of your head. It's not a big tournament. We'll keep you updated on the score. The winners play on the weekend in Philadelphia. That is the Gold Cup final. The most important thing about the Gold Cup is the winner of this tournament plays in the Confederations Cup. What does that mean? That's a tournament held the year before the World Cup in Russia. So you get a chance to go over, you get a chance to play some games, you get a chance to get acclimated with the stadiums and what's going on there, and you get paid.
Panama.
David Lee Roth, Mexico, the head coach of Panama. They go next, 8:30 after the conclusion of this game, and we'll keep you updated on any scores going. But as we get started tonight, we'll take your phone calls as well, 333-2665. Join in. We will get to IU stuff a little bit later in the program, but we kind of backtrack into IU stuff as Kyle Schwarber lit up the internet, lit up the Great American Ballpark last night by himself. And for those of you who didn't catch it, if you go to our Facebook page, WGCL Radio, last night's highlights are there. And by 6 p.m. in the afternoon, we should hopefully – everybody should be caught up on what happened last night. But if you missed it, Schwarber, two-run home run to tie it in the ninth after Todd Frazier's two RBI single broke a 2-2 deadlock in the bottom of the seventh. Schwarber, it's a two-run. No Chapman, though. That was the only thing, Terry. There was no Chapman last night. He had the night off, and J.J. Hoover served that up. So that ties the game, and he becomes the first Cub since Andre Dawson in 1990 to win the game in extra innings as he hits a two-iron over the right field wall. That thing got out of there in a hurry. So Schwarber hits two bombs. He's 4-for-7 on the night and drives in three runs. His numbers in the major leagues are quite impressive.
Just looked him up a minute ago. He's got a .410 batting average right now.
.429 after this afternoon.
Yes, after the 2-for-3 this afternoon, yeah. You jack it up a little bit. What a start. It was great. Yeah, I kept looking in last night, looking at what he was doing and going, oh my gosh! He's doing it again. Yeah, he had a little. He looked a little overmatched against Aroldis Chapman
the
other night. But yeah, who doesn't?
Who doesn't? And folks, will four RBIs last night for Schwarber.
Yeah, it was four for seven and four RBIs.
Four RBIs. So that got him to 410. And last night, if you remember, his first at bat or second at bat was a one hop ground rule double to dead center. So he was about, I don't know, 3 yards from three home runs last night for the Cubbies. So he's up. What does he have to do to stay up there? I have no idea. He's smashing the baseball. The Cubs can't score any runs besides what he's providing the last couple of days. And if that's not bad enough, Reds beat the Cubs this afternoon 9-1. Schwarber, 2-for-3, and the only RBI.
Yep.
So the batting average now increases. What is he up to? He will not catch tonight. He will not play tonight. So if you had a chance to see the game, lefty pitcher or righty pitcher for the Reds, game one, Leak makes sense. You put the lefty up there after catching 13 innings last night. You're not going to catch him two games tonight. 2-for-3, RBI, had a walk.
What's his OPS? His OPS was 1.183 this morning.
It's over. It's unbelievable.
Which is, I mean, it's only, I think, 37 games in before today. But
still.
And what's kept him out of the majors so far, Joe Maddon has said, because it's not really like – there's not somebody in front of him. I mean, the person in front of him is
the personal catcher for John Lester.
Well, and basically just a placeholder. They know Schwarber's coming. What's kept him out of the majors is Joe Maddon saying he needs more games behind the plate. He needs, you know, that it seems like they're sticking with the catcher thing, that left field is not really like a solution
fair,
that's on the plate right
he
now.
He wouldn't even be there right now if Montero didn't get hurt.
Sure, but at what point, I guess, he's making a case for basically saying at some point that you just can't pull that bat out of the lineup, no matter how much growing he's got to do behind the plate. You just let him grow there. And just
well,
keep
and everything,
letting him slug.
Everything you hear, whether you're reading it or you're listening to coaches, they're all saying, "Hey, we can teach him how to catch up here at the major league level. We've got instructors. We've got people can do this. You got to remember, this kid, you know, hasn't caught that long, and then spent 3 good years in college. But you know, we can teach him to do that, but you can't do the hitting." And he is proven he can rake.
Well, the other thing, this is kind of what I brought up even back when he was in college, and people were saying.
And we all saw him play in college. Oh, I did every home game being the public address.
People were saying, well, can he be a catcher long term, this and that? Name me, like, out of your maybe top six catchers in the league, how many are on that list because they're great defensive catchers?
Yadier Molina does everything.
Yeah,
he's
most,
the best catcher
most
in baseball.
But most of what you would consider the best catchers in baseball are, at best, above average defensive
now here's,
players.
And again, that's not
and,
what...
And,
that's
and they
not
come...
What,
I mean, like Brian McCann played for the Braves for, what, 10 years?
That's not what makes the best catcher. The best catchers handle the staffs well. Guys feel
sure,
comfortable throwing
absolutely.
To them. The defensive stuff, nobody cares about a pass ball here or there or a bad throw down to second. If you can't throw anybody out to second and you hit 30 home runs, who cares?
Let him steal
on you all day. But how you handle a staff, and that might be the angle too. He hasn't been around a professional staff long enough. How are these guys going to react to him? When a guy's been in the league 10 years, it's a lot easier for him to put down two and you're going to give him two instead of shaking off everything and trying to figure out. But the key is the bat. You don't find guys that can hit like that. Josh Fegley's having a really solid year for the A's, another Indiana University catching product. So Schwarber just continues to hit and hit and hit. He joins 88 others, including Ted Williams, in posting a 2-home-run line in one of his first 11 Major League games. Well, that's not too bad, is it? In 11 games, that's before we got to today's 2-for-3, so you math wizards can help me out here. Schwarber's batting 310, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. That's in 11 games, so almost an RBI game. I don't know what his OPS is. I can't count that high. It's unbelievable how well he's playing. And, again, the Cubs are having problems scoring runs. And when you bring up a guy that all he does is drive in runs or get on base, would you say his OPS was over one?
It was 1.183, I believe, this
That's
morning.
That's what I saw
and
this
for
morning.
For people who don't understand that statistic, what's a good OPS?
Yeah, I mean, anything over one is a pretty good OPS.
Fantastic.
Like, I mean, anything
great.
Over 900 is a pretty good
it's
OPS.
Great what he's doing.
And the other thing about Schwarber is, and I know we probably don't want to linger on this for too long, but like he's had some hitless streaks. I think he had one earlier this year in Double A where he maybe went 4 games without a hit. But there's never been
that's not a week, Terry. That's not a week. No,
no. I mean,
that's
but
a weekend.
There's never been a single level of pro ball in the year or so now that he's been in it where he's been held up, where you feel like.
The pitching's
there
is, up to him.
Yeah, there's something that's honestly keeping him from having an impact on the game. He's hit everywhere. I think he's at least been an adequate catcher everywhere. He never has the jump from one level to the next seem to deter him in any way.
And he always leads off his first at-bat with a triple, which is very bizarre in every case you get to.
And a reminder of how athletic he is for a catcher.
And he can run. That's the other thing. All the things, all the offensive attributes outweigh anything defensively behind the plate or how he handles the staff, because at this point he's either going to be fantastic trade bait that the Cubs are going to load up and get something really large for, or they're going to have to put him at catcher and just have him learn on the fly. I think if you're a Cub fan, you don't mind it. The Reds fans today, they're happy. They've taken 2 out of 3. 6:10 was a scheduled first pitch. We'll keep you updated on all the scores as that happens as well. We're going to get ourselves a fresh cup. You do the same. And when we come back, we will wrap up our baseball chat and move on to things Indiana University. Plenty of stuff from the Indianapolis Star making news about recruiting. We know that the shoe contract stuff is getting close to being on the horizon at Assembly Hall being built. Heck, there's a new strength and conditioning coach. We got plenty to do with Terry Stoltz and Zach Osterman. We'll do it with your phone calls. 333-2665. You're in the zone. +620 at WGCL, the In the Zone radio program. Wednesday night, absolutely gorgeous in Bloomington today. 82 in sunshine. Not many clouds, not any that are going to bother us until Sunday afternoon. You can always check your forecast at WGCLradio.com. There's Terry Stoltz.
Good afternoon.
Zach Osterman from the Indy Star is also riding shotgun with us today. Good afternoon.
Howdy.
Good to have you guys aboard as we take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Again, no Reds baseball. They are playing as we speak. Game number 2, Cubs and Reds, just getting started in Chicago. If you didn't, just checking in with us, great. Kyle Schwarber not going to catch tonight because he caught earlier today. 2 for 3, another RBI. The only RBI for the Cubs. What's he hitting now, Terry? I can't remember.
Well, it 429? It was 410 before this.
And then add 2 for 3 to it. So, 429 for the Indiana University former All-American. And very proud for us that all have got a chance to watch him play. And it's always good to have Hoosiers in the bigs doing big things. And, again, day off for him tomorrow. But I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. So Reds and Cubs getting things started. Bottom of the first in Cincinnati, scoreless. Tony Cingrani for the Kings of the Ohio, and Dallas Beeler going for the Small Bears from the north side. And we'll keep you updated on that as the afternoon moves on. Gold Cup semifinal. Champions of the Northern Hemisphere in North America. How does that work? Yeah, something like that. Panama will play Mexico in game number 2 at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. Game number 1 is the USA and Jamaica. A quarter of an hour gone. Scoreless between the two. The U.S. humongous favorites not only to win tonight but to win the entire tournament. The winner moves on to the Confederations Cup in Russia in 2017. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Before the 18 World Cup?
Yeah. Well, if the United States wins this tournament, they go on. If they don't, then it's a home-and-home playoff.
They have a playoff.
Because they play 2 Gold Cups between every Confederations Cup, right?
I think that's how it is. Yes, it's odd years, so yeah, that's how it works. And basically, it's impossible for the U.S. not to qualify unless they entirely capitulate. So
yeah. They
should be in. They have to beat Mexico to do that. And if they don't do that, you get the backdoor playoff game in it as well. And you get that experience and you get that cash. FIFA and their cash, it's everywhere. But it's a great way to get over to Russia and see what's going to happen for the 2018 World Cup. Boy, that sounds like 100 years away, but it's not. The draw is this weekend for the pre-qualifying. So it never stops. The calendar keeps moving and moving. And the calendar at Indiana University continues to move on as well. The Indianapolis Star, where Zach works, has had a busy summer with stuff going on. We've seen a couple articles, obviously, new strength and conditioning coach, which affects men's basketball completely. Mm-hmm. The Assembly Hall renovations, which affects the offices over there, plus men's basketball directly. And the recruiting story that I believe Mark Alicia had last week, was that it, about how much Indiana spends relative to the rest of the league and the rest of college basketball. Let's start out, because we could never talk enough hoops, right, T?
We talked about this Monday.
Ice up your shoulder. So let's go a different direction. Good point. Let's talk about the new strength and conditioning coach. If you followed along on Twitter, I don't have his name off the top of my head, but what I do know is they've dug some kind of sand pit outside of Mellencamp Arena, and now we have SEAL training or something to the going on over for IU basketball.
Well, yeah, I tell you what. You know, the sand, this guy must have some old school ties, because the minute Mo Moriarty came back to South a few years ago, there was a sand pit down on the football field. And Mo's my age.
Is that the newest,
we graduated high school at the same time. So let's just put it this way. This is just coming back around that somebody's introduced this guy.
You're not wearing bell bottoms in the sand pit, are you?
I don't think they are.
They're not.
Who's our Maybe that's why Blackman got hurt. He had
bell
bottoms.
Well, he's had a knee problem, and I forgot about that injury. We'll talk about that as well. But let's talk first about the new hire, the strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, Lionel Anderson. I don't know who would remember him, because how much do you remember strength and conditioning? But he worked as an assistant strength and conditioning coach for the football program for a couple of years before moving to the University of Houston's football program, and that's where Indiana basketball hired him back from.
Interestingly enough, that's the second in a row from the football world.
Yes, yes. It's a football side, and anybody who follows Tom Crean knows he puts a lot of responsibility at the door of his strength and conditioning coaches. He's very fond of saying that nobody on his staff spends more time with his players than them, which is pretty much true. There are long periods of the summer where the strength and conditioning coach is spending the vast majority of the time with these players. And you talked about the sand pit. He's also brought in these oxygen masks, which essentially allow you less oxygen per breath, and therefore you're going through workouts. It's sort of
you're
like
at
training.
Altitude.
Yeah, basically like training at altitude. And he's also introduced hot yoga, among other things, which the players have told us has really helps with recovering muscles, keeping everything stretched and loose. And really it's more been
Terry, the days of sitting in the hot tub after practice are long.
You're not kidding.
He's younger than Janae Jackson, and I think he's kind of just different in the sense that he's a very, very energetic. Janae, if you knew him, was sort of very calculating, and if you talk to him about it, not that I haven't had his in-depth discussion with Lionel Anderson about nutrition and strength training, but if you talk to Janae about it, it was like flipping through a textbook the way that he understood these things. Anderson, he's everybody around him says he's got a ton of energy, and also that he's not afraid to try new things, not afraid to bring new things in, not afraid to just try. And I think there has almost been an emphasis in not getting rid of what Janae Jackson was doing, but also putting some kind of sort of new stamp on what he how
well,
he
Well, I
wants
think it's interesting that Tom Crean has now gone football. Is there any reason or rationale behind that you've read either between the lines or heard, hey, I really like the football guy angle in basketball, or is this just a complete and utter coincidence?
I mean, I know. I don't think it is. I think we've heard about, certainly he talks a lot about how physical his practices are. I think he likes having a coach that will challenge his players in the same way. I think there's still going to be differences if you talk to, you know, Mark Hill, who heads football strength and conditioning, mm-hmm. versus Janae Jackson or Lionel Anderson in terms of how they get their players ready. I think it's more of a mentality and approach that Tom Crean likes. Remember, Janae Jackson and Lionel Anderson, also both former college football players.
Right.
So, I mean, they bring sort of a football mentality to the basketball side of it.
Two brother-in-laws that are football coaches, too. I mean,
that
in the
can't
Harbaugh
hurt.
Family.
I don't think that
so
can hurt at all.
Don't think that there's not a lot of conversation at the holiday dinner tables in that vein. So, yeah, I mean, from everything I'd read earlier about the guy, I mean, I like it. I mean, some old-time Hoosiers, as the way you put it the other night in my ilk, there's still so many people that are clinging to the way it used to be, and this is in training, in games, and who we play and how we play. You know what? It is 2015, and I like the new approach, but you go back to now, all of a sudden, here's a guy that brings out a sand pit that people were using for years and years, agility and help your quickness. I like this guy, good hire, and we'll see how it works out.
Well, now the yoga is hardly
oh
a
my
new
gosh,
thing
no,
itself. I mean,
no,
yoga's been
exactly.
around for
billions and billions and
Actually,
billions
it's
of
so
years.
Popular right now that, you know, this is off the charts, but you don't normally see 19 and 20-year-olds
doing Well, you
doing
remember
it.
When Lynn Swan was doing ballet back in the
exactly.
70s, and everybody
and
said, oh, geez,
and
what
a
are
lot
you doing
of
there?
It is the same idea, muscle. More flexibility, more mm-hmm. muscle recovery.
And preventative medicine.
Yes.
The more flexible you are, hopefully the less knee, nah, that's ligaments. You can't really do anything about them. Less hamstring problems you have, less back issues you have, less whatever.
The longer your body holds up, the more you get out of every workout. Now, I mean, that's the theory anyway.
The interesting point, though, when you look at some of Tom Crean's teams over the last few years, you can throw out the first couple, two or three, well, or maybe you don't. He's always put the emphasis on winning the offseason, whether it's we're going to lift more, we're going to shoot more, we're going to run more, we're going to run through the sand pit more. I don't remember, and help me out here, and I'm not picking on him, I'm not. I'm looking at numbers. I'm looking at things.
Which you have been wont to do at times.
Well, these numbers just keep getting away all these good arguments I got. But when Indiana, at the end of most seasons, isn't firing in all cylinders and guys are banged up and we're not 100% and we're not winning games late that maybe you think you should win at home when you're in a big spot, the finishing down the line, is that because maybe they work too hard? You even heard him talk about it last year. Hey, we're going to tone it down once we get to conference play because we want to finish on that high and that up. I haven't seen that yet. Am I off base here?
Well, I don't know that you're totally off base, but I do feel like it's a little bit overstated. I mean, my birthday's February 5th, and I actually did this math a little while ago. They in their 2 years from 2011 to 2013, which obviously is the best 2 year stretch at Indiana for Tom Crean. They're 18-8 after my birthday. That's a fantastic winning percentage. Obviously, neither of those seasons necessarily ends the way fans want it to. But let's also remember they hardly looked like they were leggy and out of gas against Kentucky in the Sweet 16 in 2012. I think some of it can be that, but I think some of it can also just be simply saying, you know, the level that a team is at is going to determine where they finish the season.
And I think last year, part of that deal, maybe you had to train like that because Yogi Ferrell played 39.9 minutes a game and James Blackman played 36 minutes a game. And you can go down the line. There was three or four guys that were averaging big-time minutes. Maybe that's a product of it. But when you don't have a bench that you can rely on or you don't have any strength in numbers.
Or you're just not that experienced.
Right, but you just have to throw guys out there and let them – but again – Getting this formula correct, I don't think it's not a knock on Jeff Watkinson, who was here before. It's not a knock on Jhené, and it's not a knock on whatever's happening. But it just hasn't. This team has never played its best basketball, in my opinion, from the guts of February forward, where you said, "Boom, take off, let's go." And I don't know if that's a byproduct of too much summertime, not enough rest. I don't have an answer for it. But go ahead.
They've had some successful Big Ten finishes going up the championship.
Sure,
the 1 year,
but didn't beat Ohio State at home when they could have taken care of that.
Right.
So,
but then also
winning
also
half of those games
went
at the
to
end.
Michigan and won at Michigan.
Yes, sure did.
Thank you,
Jordan Morgan, for missing that tipping.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and here's another thing that I'll say is that now we have a new strength and conditioning coach. We have a few new approaches. And now we've got a lot more experienced roster. As Zach just said, you know, inexperience is we're just going to have to run with who we've got that has the most, and we're going to get them in shape. Now we may have – maybe we've got a deeper bench. We do have more experience, and now we've got some new techniques to try. I mean, I think the one thing I like is Tom Crean also not worried about trying to tweak things and do things differently, trying to find an approach that works.
And this is also, it should be said, as much as it's easy to focus on sort of the bubble we're in, this is a formula that every college basketball coach is trying to strike every single year. There's plenty of coaches who, at the end of the year, coaches who've won national titles who, if they were candid at the end of a given season, might tell you that they didn't have their guys ready enough. They had them over-prepared, over-trained, maybe under-trained. Maybe they caught their stride too late in the season. So it is something that, again, I think it's very easy to kind of get sort of tunnel vision into talking about what's relevant to you locally, and that's obviously to us, that's IU, but Rick Pitino is fighting the same fight every year, so is Tom Izzo. So
well, you got Kenny Johnson on the plan down there. My goodness, he must be training with the boys down there.
He looks good.
He's doing good. I saw him, I guess, sometime last year. He's doing good.
Looks fantastic.
I think he was the same guy the first time I saw him on the bench.
He's not going to Zaxby's, which is all I'd do if I
could. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Amen.
There's one in Greenwood now. Don't forget that. That's Terry Stoltz and Zach Osterman. I'm Mike Glasscott. We're in the zone. We'll come back and kind of talking about recruiting there. We'll get into Indiana's payroll on the recruiting trail. Do you need it? Heck yeah, you need it. Just like you need a sand pit. Exactly right. You're in the zone. We thank Williams Brothers Pharmacy for being on board with us every Monday and Wednesday. Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. Stop by, say hi, 574 Landmark Avenue. Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. In the zone, thank you for being with us. 333-2665. Terry Stoltz pinch hitting for Dave this week. Good afternoon, T.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
And we'll bring in the lumber, the bullpen, the Aroldis Chapman of the final program.
That's right.
Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers at IndyStar.com, at Zach Osterman, joining us. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Talking some hoops. We appreciate you finding the time here on a gorgeous, gorgeous summer day. We're talking some hoops, but before we get to that, Gold Cup semifinal, 30 minutes played, first half in Atlanta. United States nil, Jamaica nil. Good chances for each side. A little sloppy from the Jamaicans, but a good save from their keeper. And, again, Jamaican had a 12 yards out. Put it right over the top of the net, and they have just scored. Ooh. Never mind. It's 1-0 as we speak off a corner kick, and Jamaica leads at 90 minutes. The winner will get Mexico or Panama, the other semifinal tonight. Fox Sports 1 if you're into the TV side. Free kick, a long throw, actually. Knocked on. That was an own goal. Check that and make sure that's not right. 0-0, the Reds and Cubs, game two of a doubleheader this afternoon in Cincinnati. Game two starting at 6 o'clock, so we didn't have that covered for you. The Reds win game one 9-1. Todd Frazier continues his hot streak. He drove in three. And Kyle Schwarber, the former Indiana All-American, 2-for-3. And the Cubs only RBI, so Schwarber has five RBIs. Let me see, 2-for-3 and 4-for-7. Help me out here. That's 6-for-10? Mm-hmm. 2-for-3
and
4-for-3.
1-for-4 in the opening game.
So 7-for-14.
That would be 500.
In three games. He's not playing tonight. He's not going to catch a
at home
doubleheader.
Well, more or less at home.
Yeah, in front of his friends and family. That's the toughest place to do it, usually. Schwarber last night had two home runs, drove in four, and then one more RBI today is five. Scoreless Reds and Cubs in Cincinnati. We have the Reds for you on the radio Friday and Saturday. Then it's off to the Brickyard, the Crown Royal Brickyard 400, noon on Sunday. We have all your pre-race coverage leading up to green flag racing at 1 o'clock from the Yard of Bricks. Update, Jamaica 1, USA 0. It was not an own goal. Came off a long throw. USA beaten to a header on their own penalty box, and a nice angled header by the Jamaican finds the far corner, 1-0. USA must find a way to get beaten in the final, correct? I don't think they go into some magical playoff if they get beaten in the semifinals.
No, I think they do because they won.
Their coefficient or something?
No, they won the. There's two Gold Cups between each World Cup, and they won the first one.
Oh,
so I believe. My understanding
is. Said the blind man.
It's the winner of both, and if the same team obviously wins both, then they,
no
playoff. They just go straight through.
You don't play yourself.
That's my understanding, anyway.
When all I want my soccer info, I come to YouTube.
Well, you should. That's where we have most of it. And a bad foul there. We'll see if the U.S. is penalized for that. Talking IU hoops, though. It's never out of season in Bloomington. That shouldn't come to a surprise as anyone. And our good friend John gave us a call during the break. And his question for Zach is, we're talking recruiting. We're going to talk the recruiting budget to you. We just talked strength and conditioning. We're going to talk about filling up a staff. We talked about the brand-new strength and conditioning coach, but Indiana has one more position available. What's the inside information on that? What's the scuttlebutt about filling that assistant coach role?
Well, I guess there's no direct answer to it.
And briefly, because I'm a terrible talk show host, Steve McClain, the former
leaves
assistant.
For UIC.
There you go.
Rob Judson, who is director of basketball operations, has been filling in as the third assistant. You're allowed to bring a third assistant up in the summer for recruiting purposes now, also for the brief amount of time you can spend with your players on a weekly basis.
I thought
the
director of basketball operations could not be involved with recruiting.
But you are allowed to bring a person into sort of an interim assistant role if you have an open assistant's job.
Got, so they don't let you run short. That makes sense. So that's not skirting
yes.
the rule. That's saying, hey, you haven't hired anybody, but we're
so
not going to penalize you
like
for not hiring someone.
A couple of years ago when Benny Seltzer left, Calbert Chaney did some recruiting trail work until they hired Kenny Johnson. That kind of thing. Judson has been in that role since McClain left. Indiana has posted on its jobs board a listing for a director of basketball operations. The natural question everyone has asked is,
why not name him?
Does this mean now? And Rob Judson, former Illinois player, former Illinois assistant, former Illinois State assistant, former Northern Illinois head coach. You know, obviously there's plenty of experience
Chicago,
there.
Chicago, it's a heck of a town.
But of course, the question that we've all asked and that I think no one has been willing to answer, perhaps because it's July and perhaps because they don't totally want to yet, is does this mean that Rob Johnson is officially your third head coach? That is where the wind is blowing, or third assistant coach, excuse me, not head coach. That is where the wind is blowing. At some level, I think everything is on the back burner until the end of July. That does sort of fly in the face a little bit of what Tom Crean said at Huber Winery earlier this year when he said he thought he would have announcements on both the strength coach, which he did very soon after, and that third assistant.
I'll read between the lines and say somebody didn't end up taking it, and that's why that he thought he had somebody, then it didn't happen. Jamaica has scored another goal. It's 2-0 as the Reggae Boys, from a free kick 18 yards out on the top of the penalty area, are leading the U.S. 2-0. We're not going to do any play-by-play on that, just to keep you updated on the score. But it seemed like if he had that announcement all ready to go, and like you mentioned, the strength and conditioning coach came up, maybe something didn't come through, and now they're in plan B. Is that it?
I think it's hard to say. At the same time, you had the Max Bielefeld transfer come in right around that same time, too. That's going to command some time. At a certain point, recruiting is always just going to override everything in the summer, so it's hard to say. For
and
sure.
The reason it does that, right, yeah, because of the short time span.
Exactly. Benny Seltzer back in town at the end of the year helping out. Mm-hmm. Any word is possibly Benny, either the assistant coach again or the ops job.
That job for him was...
He's the film coordinator, right?
He was director of, I think they called it director of player performance, but Tom Crean always kind of termed it a part-time thing or a short-term thing. So I don't know that I would not expect to see him back next year,
right?
Again, unless maybe he will be considered, but I don't believe he's really been around the program in the off season per se.
So he hasn't been a guy, okay, where you've said, hey, there's everywhere.
I could be wrong about that, but he's not turned up. Judson's been in all the stuff they put out from workouts and things. He's been working out with players. I know he's been on the recruiting trail, and he's allowed to do those things, but I know he's been in those roles. Seltzer's position was always sort of described as short term by Tom Crean when he brought him in, you know, sort of the end of last season.
And Tim Buckley, still Tim Buckley. That part of the staff mm-hmm. is completely
Tim
normal.
Buckley and Chuck Martin.
Chuck Martin
held over from last year, and again, all signs point to Rob Judson. Perhaps there's still some paperwork that needs to go through on some things. Who knows? And
right, this, sometimes that's all.
This time
of
year, there's just nothing going
on.
When
a fiscal year ends and a fiscal year begins.
I went on IU Hoosiers today just to kind of check the roster to see who all. Well, they don't have Bryant on there. They don't have Bielefeld on there, which I'm glad Zach just mentioned that. And last time we looked at each other, we forgot about him.
Bielefeld, that's right.
So, you know, right now. Any news on Blackman? How's his rehabilitation going?
And for those people who haven't been following around, tell us what's wrong with James Blackman.
He's torn his meniscus.
Very common injury.
It is, and it's not – I think when people hear the word torn, they get very concerned. It's not too serious. Tom Crean specifically told me he thinks he'll be full go by September, which is about when you'd need someone like that full go by, because September is when you get to start getting your real preseason rolling. Not full practice yet. That's 7 weeks before your first game, but that's when you start to really have everybody's on campus. Your team is more or less put together, and you want to start gelling things. Obviously,
and
it's going to hurt him not to have
no
the offseason.
Reason to get him hurried up back and to be
no,
okay
no, and
instead
I think,
of being great.
You know, Tom Crean said that the doctors don't believe this was in any way affected by or related to his ACL tear in high school.
Knee.
I believe so, okay. But I'm not. I don't want to speak with full.
Yeah.
What I was told was simply they did not believe the two were related, and more or less the way that Crean sounded was just that this was an unfortunate setback because he said he was having a good summer, which is not uncommon. That freshman to sophomore summer is usually a very good one, a very formative one for basketball players. Lots of college athletes, truthfully, but
did
it's
they,
not
did,
something.
Did
right
he hurt
now.
It working out? Did he hurt it playing?
He just kind of hurt it, I think, planting his foot. So, yeah. You know, what does that mean?
I once tore mine having my foot hanging out of a golf cart and ran into something.
That, for some reason, just doesn't surprise
no
me.
No longer an athlete, no longer in action. When we come back, we will get on the recruiting trail. Why? We'll see how much money it costs to recruit like Indiana University does. Why that's necessary. Why the arms race in college basketball. There's only two games to be in. Either you're in or you're out. So we'll have Zach walk us through that as well. Terry Stultz is with us. So is Zach Osterman. At Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers. You are in the zone on a Wednesday night. All right, one final time for you on a busy, busy, busy Wednesday night. Let's get you caught up on what you need to know. Gold Cup semifinal approaching halftime in the Georgia Dome. Semifinal number 1, USA 0, Jamaica 2. header off a long throw for the Jamaicans and a free kick from just to the right of the D on the top of the box, beating Brad Guzan. The header was angled away from him. The free kick I'll have to see again. 2-0 Jamaica, Mexico, Panama, 8:30 Fox Sports 1, the second semifinal. Baseball, Game 2, doubleheader, Reds, Cubbies from the Great American Ballpark. The Reds have pumped in four runs here in the second inning. Dallas Buesler, the pitcher for the Cubs, has finally gotten an out. Billy Hamilton's driven in two. The pitcher for the Reds, Tony Cingrani, even has an RBI. So it's 8-9-1 doing the damage for the big red machine. Game one, 9-1 winners. Cincinnati beats the Cubs. The Cubs' only RBI?
Well, Kyle Schwarber.
Well, there
of
you go. 2-for-3. 7-14 in the three games.
He may have to pinch hit in this second game just to get him a run.
Well. And there's something to be said about that. He's cementing his future with the big boy club, and he's what do they call that when they vet him? All that time served is adding up quickly.
Yeah, it is.
And more dollars of arbitration comes that way. That's rolling quite quickly. That voice you hear is our good friend Zach Osterman. He's from the Indy Star. He joins us on a Wednesday night, sitting in, talking some Hoosier hoops on a busy summer, just kind of getting everything put together. Talk about James Blackman's knee, the new strength and conditioning coach Lionel Anderson, what they're going to do with the third assistant job. Looks like it's going to be Rob Judson. And the story your colleague Mark Alicia put out this week. I'm not sure what Terry and I opined on Monday, where this came from, why this is a big deal, just because it's recruiting season, but it showed Indiana's budget relative to the rest of the Big Ten, minus Northwestern, private schools don't have to list that
Penn
stuff.
Penn State, too, because they don't have to give it up. There's some very strange law in Pennsylvania.
Land grant or something?
About how, yeah, Pitt's the same way. They don't have to give up public records.
Interesting. So the Hoosiers checked in, and the number was quite larger than a lot of places, and that kind of gave maybe the uninformed some ammunition if they didn't like what's going on, because Wisconsin, we saw their recruiting budget was $62,000 and Indiana's was $760,000. Talk about, it's not your story, I understand that. Why Indiana does what they need to do to be a player in this game, because as I mentioned going the break, Terry, you're either in recruiting or you're out of recruiting. You can't, there is no kinda. There's no kind of half pregnancy going on here. Either you're in this game or you're out of the game, in my opinion.
Well, there's been a dramatic uptick in how much it costs, and I think it's to the tune of, it was somewhere around like $150,000 like 4 years ago for Indiana. You get all these numbers, by the way.
It's quadruple.
Every university, as a stipulation of its membership, has to file an annual fiscal report with the NCAA. And the NCAA lays out over, I think, 35 categories of revenues and expenses, how you group your money. It's about as specific as anything can get in terms of trying to compare budgets. It's not perfect, but the NCAA report is the most specific way that schools are for, or departments are forced to sort of allocate their money and explain what they spent where and what they made where. And so that's where you get these numbers. One of the things that's happened is Indiana has, through various different factors, lost the use of private charter planes. Obviously, coaches like to use those planes because, I mean, if you talk about Tom Crean, he will hit three tournaments in a day. I mean, I've known him to go from Georgia to Philadelphia, like to Las Vegas. I'm probably making up that specific order, but the point is he moves around a lot. Lots of coaches do that. Some schools, and Indiana used to be this way, have private planes that they own, and so they don't really report any expenses from it. Indiana has started having to charter planes, and that's where the substantial increase has come from. Obviously, I think a lot of this kind of comes down to how you feel about money in college athletics in general.
Let's get one thing straight before we get started. The money we're talking about here
is all self-generated.
It has nothing to do with your tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to be upset, you don't be upset about things like that. Just like anything with athletics, it's all privately raised
Indiana
money.
Takes what the, in terms of allocated, what they call allocated revenue, Indiana takes none of it. I think they might get actually a small portion in student fees, but then you make the argument that that's also why student tickets are so much cheaper than they
yes.
are for everyone else. They don't take any institutional money, which means the university does not write them a check for anything. They don't take any money from the state. Everything Indiana spends, it generates by itself. So yes, it is all money. And again, it's more just sort of the question of whether or not you're comfortable with college athletics being a big business
thing. And that
thing.
Is a separate issue compared to what's going on here. But it sounds like the issue for Indiana is they don't have a T. Boone Pickens where you can just say, hey, take my jet.
And I think that was because they got rid of the university planes, and I believe
seven years ago, the article
they
said.
Had some boosters who essentially allowed to happen. And it's just a question of the availability of those planes. And if they don't have them available, then the university is going to have to charter them out and fly coaches all around. It's also important to note, and this is going to be an uptick everywhere, but unless I'm mistaken, a couple of years ago they eliminated the rule that said you couldn't have all four, your head coach and all three assistants out at the same time. You could only have three total coaches on the road. I believe that has been eliminated, and now you're allowed to have that whole group of four out all at the same time. But that's going to be a uniform, you know, a uniform rise everywhere. Now, 4 or 5 years ago, if you look at Indiana's recruiting, it was almost primarily in-state. They have branched out significantly in the last 3 or 4 years, I think.
Kenny Johnson, Chuck Martin.
And just generally opening up some of those East Coast pipelines, D.C., New York,
Virginia, you know, just Troy Williams area,
New England in general.
Noel Vonleh.
That has led them to want to have more of a presence out there. I know there are Indiana fans, and I'm probably going to make some of them mad by saying this, but I know there are Indiana fans that believe you can build a consistent winner without ever really leaving the immediate sort of recruiting footprint.
The argument
Indiana.
I made on Monday was, what if kids don't want to go to your program? You have to go somewhere else to get them.
I think there is a fundamental shift that some people don't appreciate about recruiting. Duke just won a national title with a point guard from Minnesota, a forward from Texas, and a center from Chicago, all of whom were essentially friends, and two of whom, and you maybe believe, maybe don't, the third, made a loose pact to all go to school together. And these are kids from three different states.
It's happened at
Duke. Exactly.
It's happening.
Kids are thinking about recruiting in a different way now. They're thinking about recruiting nationally in a way that I don't think they were before. And I think that programs, if you look at any blue blood program in the country, there is none. There's really probably not a state that can support a blue blood program other than maybe Texas, and that's just because Texas has a massive
Texas
population.
And California, maybe.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I
massive
agree.
Population.
And you know what the kids have
states.
Learned? They learn they have all the power, and they have to be listened to.
Mm-hmm. If you think you
and
can,
you have
just,
to go chase them.
That's right. If you can think that Indiana's going to win by recruiting Indiana, Ohio, and Illinois, you're sadly mistaken in today's game.
And Indiana may spend more, but the reality is, it's all a matter of degrees at some point. And I think it's fair of Indiana basketball to also say we brought in $22 million last year. We're spending $750,000.
You know how you get people to stop talking about this? Win in March. Simple formula, folks. It's not hard to do. Thanks for your time, Zach. We appreciate it. Terry Stoltz, my man, filling in. Dave's back on Monday. You've been in the zone.